Welcome to Technofunda Investing Podcast Series. This is the 11th episode of the series where we are going to learn about how to find scalable businesses that creates wealth. Do you know there are just 175 Indian companies which make over $100 million, that is 700 crores in annual pre-tax profit? And out of these, there are only 78 companies which could grow 100x. And if you think about the total number of companies listed in India, it's approximately like 3000 plus, which are decent companies, which means that only 5% of companies are able to scale up extremely well. And there are roughly 20% of the companies which scale to a decent extent. So what are these factors that make some of these companies, the rarest of these rarest companies, to grow, scale and create wealth of investors? And a lot of factors which I have identified, which we'll be discussing in this podcast, is first of all growth, profitable growth, the competitive advantages, the longevity and riding the mega trends, how these businesses gain market share, how there is a shift from unorganized to organized market, there are economies of scale, the opportunity size, niche and the profit pools at play, and finally there is durability and anti-fragility that helps these businesses to scale and continue to grow. They defy the gravity, they defy the mean reversion, and they keep on growing. And I'll tell you at the end of this podcast how exactly you can also find this. So stay tuned and let's begin the journey in terms of finding what are these 10 qualities in these businesses that we should look for. So the first quality is growth. If you are able to find businesses which can grow, that is the first sign where there is good probability that they will be able to scale up. Now, it is not just important to have growth. You know, you can grow anyways. You can just burn money and still grow. You can sell products for free and you can grow. You can sell products below your profitability and grow. And that is the reason where the second factor, which is profitable growth, is very, very important. Your growth should be much higher than the cost of capital. So if you are having a cost of capital of say 10%, you need to create return on the capital much higher than that and then grow. If you grow below the cost of capital, there is no point. You are actually burning money of shareholders. So there are various ways in which company can grow. You know, the industry growth itself is very, very important. That is the first factor within the growth itself. And that is the reason I keep telling that keep looking for sector tailwinds. If your industry, your sector is growing, you are more likely to have winners in those sectors. The second is, you know, if a company is able to go into various new categories and it can premiumize their products, that is another trigger how they can keep scaling up. If you think about companies like Pepsi, it was just selling soft drink earlier, and then now they have gone into different categories. Same way, if you think about HUL and lot other FMCG companies, you will understand that the scalability which they have achieved is by going into different categories coupled with the industry growth. So just growth is not enough. Profitable growth is what you should be looking for. Now imagine sector like telecom. You would say that, Vivek, this sector was growing profoundly. There is still, till date, there is so much of opportunity in this sector. People are using telephones on an exponential basis, and there is so much to do. Then why the companies in these sectors are not growing and why they are going bankrupt? The reason for that is there is no competitive advantage which companies are having. The products are more commoditized, and each player is fighting for the same thing. And that is where, you know, the third factor comes into play, which is competitive advantages. So how you can have a competitive advantage versus your other players in the industry makes a considerable difference. And these advantages could be various. You might be a lowest cost player that no other player can beat you. Say for example, in chemical sector, right? There are so many niche companies which are operating in different chemicals and they are virtually monopoly in what they are doing. And they are lowest cost players in the entire world. Now, if somebody new has to come, they will need to achieve that scale and do a lot of other things. And there could be layers of patents, IPs, which can also protect these companies. It could be a strong brand. So there are so many such competitive advantages which companies can generate and protect itself from other competition. So that is the reason the third factor, which is competitive advantage, is very, very important. So if you are operating in a niche where, you know, very few players are there and you have a combination of competitive advantages and you have a sector tailwinds, that itself, you know, is a big throttle which will help you to scale the business. But the scalability is also dependent on the longevity, and that is where the concept of mega trends is very, very important. Because if you have a mega trend which is pushing you, which is helping you through throttle in this journey, then the speed and acceleration at which, you know, you will able to gain that scalability will be very, very powerful. So you need to have that trend in favor. And that's where, you know, when I do my study, I also see technical charts as well, that whether I can see that long trend on the charts as well. And more likely, if the trend is there on the charts, you will see the same trend on the financials, on the fundamental side of it also. So you need to have that mega trend, that longevity in your favor. So longevity is the fourth factor, which is essential if you want to create wealth. If you are having short-term sector tailwind, your short-term competitive advantages, and the competition is able to kill you, then it is not conducive for long-term investing. And there are various examples in the history we have seen. You know, if you see companies like Asian Paints, Nestle, HDFC Bank, and so many powerful companies, they have been able to grow for a long, long period of time. The fifth factor is market share gain. So if the industry is growing and at the same time you are able to gain market share from weaker players, then the acceleration, the scalability becomes huge. Think about companies which have taken market share from inefficient players. In India, there were so many PSU companies which were not running efficiently. Think about BSNL, think about Air India, think about LIC, think about PSU banks. And a lot of stronger players have taken advantage of that situation and have grown. If you think about telecom, you know, a lot of private players have taken market share from BSNL and MTNL. And for Air India, you can again think of SpiceJet and IndiGo and all other powerful players who are taking away market share from this inefficient airline company. And same way, you know, a lot of insurance players right now are taking market share from LIC because they are not able to operate properly. They have higher costs. Their premiums are much higher than the private players. And that is where, you know, you need to look out for these mega trends. And if the inefficient player is big enough, that shift will keep on happening for many years together. And if this is coupled with the overall sector tailwinds, where your industry is also growing, that will create a magic. It is a deadly combination. So that is the fifth factor in which you should be thinking about. It is more like a mental model I'm giving all of you to think about where and how to hunt for scalable businesses. The sixth parameter where you can again find the clues of having a scalable business is in terms of where there is a shift happening from unorganized to organized. So imagine there are so many small, tiny players in the unorganized space, like 70-80% of the market is unorganized, and then there is a organized player which is emerging, and it is so efficient and it is able to comply with all the laws. It is able to create a distribution network, and if that is valuable to the customers, you will see that slowly that shift from unorganized to organized is helping that company to scale to a great extent. And we have seen a lot of such examples in Indian industry. You know, paints industry is one such example. We have recently, you know, all the home decor kind of companies like Cera and other, you know, tiles players which are there. They have seen the same shift and they are benefiting from other tailwinds like GST and more compliances which government is putting. So if you are able to spot a sector where there is huge unorganized market and there are strong tailwinds in favor of shift happening from unorganized to organized, you are more likely to find your winner out there. And you should not, again, as I mentioned, you know, see the scalability in isolation. It should be profitable growth. That is the most important thing. You should keep it in mind. Now, if you think about today's time and age, it is very important to have economies of scale also if you want to keep growing continuously. And this is one of the competitive advantages also. But if you are able to scale, you can basically have a fixed cost which is much higher, and then your variable cost per unit goes much, much lower. And if you are inherently having that operating leverage, you can grow much faster. So seventh point is economies of scale. Think of businesses which can scale and can become stronger. And if I think about these kind of traits, the emerging sector which is coming in these secret sauce combination is something called platform businesses. So these are businesses where buyers and sellers are coming together and doing transaction. And these businesses are just giving the platform. So think about matrimony.com. Think about NSE, where buyers and sellers are just coming. They are just providing the platform and people are making transaction. Think about IEX, Indian Energy Exchange. So it is just a platform where buyers and sellers are coming together making transaction. So in these kind of businesses, if they are really solid, if they really have those competitive advantages, and if they can really get that market share, they can become really big because they are not dependent on any product as such. They don't have any raw material to product cycle. It just gives the platform and it can scale to very high extent just by small incremental addition to the capacity. So that is very powerful mental model. Again, you can think about. I have written a detailed thread in October on my Twitter handle. If you are not following my Twitter handle, by the way, you can follow my handle @MashraniVivek. And I share a lot of such insightful materials on my Twitter handle also. So if you are able to, you know, gain that economies of scale, that is very, very powerful combination. Now, you know, a lot of time what will happen is we might not be able to see all these things coming to us. You know, it's all in hindsight, right? All these 100x, the 70, 80, 100 companies which have become, it's all in hindsight. When anybody is investing, even biggest of biggest investors, say for example, you know, somebody might have made 100, 200x in big companies. When they started their journey, they would not know that it will become 100x. It is always in the hindsight that we will realize that this was a very powerful company. So just putting money directly, full allocation into these potential winners does not make sense. And if you put money in your past winners, there is no guarantee that these winners will continue to grow. And even if they grow, the returns which you generate is much lower compared to what they might have generated due to this acceleration in scale. So that is the reason I keep telling that future is unknown. Nobody knows what is the future winner. We can just see the traits of these winners and can think that this could be a potential winner. And that is where, you know, allocating full capital at the initial stage itself just by fundamental analysis most likely doesn't help. And that's the reason I combine technical analysis with fundamental analysis. And my approach is that I keep foot in the door. I take initial small tracking position where I find that business is looking promising and it has a lot of these signs, the factors which I'm talking about, to scale up in future. And then as the business keeps becoming stronger and stronger, you keep averaging it up. And then you basically have also an exit strategy just in case it doesn't work for you and it doesn't pan out the way you have thought of. Because I've seen a lot of investors just go in that hope story and they are never able to emotionally disconnect with that story. And they just stay invested and lose their hard-earned money. So this is like I call Achhe Din strategy, where I would like to partner with the company in its Achhe Din, where it is going to scale up when it is into a mega trend. And I don't want to get out too early as well. And I don't want to risk if things are not going well. So that is where these three steps will help me. First, put foot in the door. Second, average up. And then follow the exit strategy. Now, I go deeper into this concept of Technofunda investing formula in my webinar, which I conduct. If you want to join that webinar, you can just see the link below this podcast as well. Or you can note it down and type on your browser. technofunda.co/live technofunda.co/live, and you can join me in my next upcoming masterclass and I'll demonstrate exactly how this works. But if you don't have such system in place, it is very difficult to ride such businesses which can become scalable in future, because you only have so much to put in. And I also, on the platform businesses with my community, I have a dedicated 5 hours plus session where I exactly show them which are the platform businesses and what are different traits it is showing. And I also have a scoring model which you can objectively use to score all these businesses. And then you can take a relative ranking decision in terms of which business you should allocate more and which you can allocate lesser and which you can totally omit. Right. So if you follow these kind of objective process in your assessment, that is where the probability of you getting your future winners will drastically increase. And most importantly, you will be able to ride them. Right. Now, eighth factor which comes into the play on how to find such scalable business is think about opportunity size. So I give this example and it is very popular in terms of investing community. A lot of people who have talked about, they keep on talking about this, that think about fish in the pond, whether the pond is big enough compared to the fish. So small fish in a big pond is the way you need to position yourself, right? So if your company is small and the opportunity size is very, very big, the chances that this company will be able to fit in and grow continuously in this big pond is much, much higher. On the other hand, if you have a small pond and a big fish which is occupying almost that entire pond, even if it is a monopoly and that pond is not growing, then there is no point. There is a ceiling for it to scale up. So that's where think about this eighth factor, opportunity size. And that's where again the platform businesses which I mentioned, it is again, for example, you can do your own research, but there are big opportunity lying there and the market size is so big that if they continue growing and if they really are monopoly in their own niche which with their competitive advantages, then you know you might wonder how much it can grow. So there is so much of room in terms of opportunity size. So that is very important factor, and a lot of people have this syndrome. And again, I've talked about this in my one of the YouTube videos also. You can go and check it out sometime later. What are the 10 biggest mistakes that investors do? And one of the syndrome which I talk about is called "aur kitna upar jayega" syndrome. Yeah, so people just think that, okay, it has moved 50% higher, 200% higher, 3x, or kitna upar jayega, and they will exit. But probably these are the businesses which can keep growing higher because their business is improving and they keep on making more new 52-week highs and all-time highs. And think about this, you know, why these great companies keep getting better. How are they able to generate returns with scale and growth? Think about businesses like Pidilite, think about Asian Paints, think about HDFC Bank, TCS, Nestle, Titan, Bajaj Finance. What were those differentiating factors? And you will probably come down to these similar traits over there. And a lot of other factors I'll also cover after these 10 points are completed. So think about all these factors and then connect the dots. That is the key. And I'm also going to give you a Excel template gift if you are staying till the end. So just look out for my message there. And this is an amazing template which I'm going to give as a gift since you are listening till a lot of the end points out here, right? So the 8th point which we discussed is opportunity size. The 9th one is the niche, right? What are the small profit pools where some of the companies are attacking those profit pools and maximizing the juice from that entire sector? So there are many companies which operate in a very small niche, but these niches are very, very profitable. So think about the telecom industry, right? So telecom industry might have tower players. They might have this classic, players which are giving you telecom services like Jio and Airtel and Vodafone and all that. There might be some software players. There might be some players who are giving raw material in terms of those wires and cables and everything. But if you think about, there might be some players who are very, very niche, very, very monopolized in that entire value chain, and they might be, you know, incrementally getting benefits even though other players are bleeding. And if you get the combination where the sector itself is healthy, the sector itself is growing, and there is a niche profitable player who is also growing, and it's kind of virtual monopoly, you have hit the jackpot. Yeah, so that is the 9th component which you should be looking for in terms of these scalable businesses. 10th is think about durability and anti-fragility. So as I mentioned in the 4th factor, you need that longevity for a business so that it can keep compounding for a long period of time. If it is really riding that mega trends with competitive advantages, with a profitable growth, and they are able to also reinvest their money and grow continuously. So that is where the concept of durability comes into the play. It should not have much of debt. It should be debt free. It should have anti-fragility. Even in the bad times, it should be able to stay strong and emerge even stronger when things are gone. So think about COVID kind of situation. All the banks were bleeding, but the stronger ones, you know, they came up very fast in those difficult times. And when they come out, they become even more stronger because all the weak players in the industry are weeded out. Right? So if you find such players who is anti-fragile in terms of the traits which it is showing, then again, the chances of it surviving and then exponentially create wealth and scale up is increasing. Obviously, we have to see this in combination with all other factors. Yeah. So let's just summarize the points, the 10 traits which we just discussed in terms of what are the different traits which you should be looking for when you think about scalable businesses that create wealth. So first is growth. Second is the growth should be profitable. The third factor is competitive advantages. The fourth one, it should have longevity and mega trends which is favoring it. The fifth is how it can show the traits of market share gain. Sixth is how they can take advantage of unorganized to organized shift. Seventh is economies of scale. Eighth is how it can capitalize the opportunity size, the fish and pond example which I gave. The ninth one is how they are able to operate in niche and take advantage of profit pools within the value chain. And 10th is durability and anti-fragility. Right, so these are the traits which you should be looking for. And I now want to discuss, you know, how you can basically ride this and create wealth, right? So I liked this analogy by one of the videos which I saw from Utpal Sheth in CFA Society India YouTube channel. And he gives a very powerful example of gorilla investing, right? So if you have a gorilla who is operating in a jungle, so jungle is your broader sector which is growing and which has all these favorable traits which I have talked about. And if there is a gorilla who is a dominant player, who is very, very strong, who is having very strong competitive advantages, who is having those leadership traits, then, you know, the chances of it continue to defy the gravity, defy the mean reversion becomes much higher and it can scale to much, much larger extent. And he also talks about, you know, the longevity traits as well. How these companies are able to innovate continuously and they are able to get the share of profit pool from other players, right? So if you think about all these great businesses which I mentioned, think about Pidilite. It has continuously innovated itself. It has fought with disruption and kept on evolving. Same way if you think about Asian Paints, although the market is so big, although there is competition, but it has continuously come out of that curve, become leader in the segment, and continuously they have, you know, scaled up. Same way if you think about HDFC Bank or TCS or Nestle, you will see these different traits playing up, right? So when you think about riding this scalable businesses, and finding these scalable businesses, just keep these 10 points in mind. And on top of it, just think about this analogy which Utpal Sheth has given in terms of gorilla investing. And I'm sure this will help you. It will give you this template to at least eliminate 90% of bad companies. And if you are able to eliminate bad companies from your list, I think your job is, you know, very, very close in terms of finding a scalable business, right? Because as Charlie Munger says, invert, always invert. If you want to find good scalable companies, you have to first eliminate companies which are not qualifying all these traits, and automatically you will eliminate so many companies and you will be left with very small list to filter out and research further. So that is it for me in this today's podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. If you liked this, you know, just hit a like button and give a 5-star review on the Apple podcast. And as I promised, you know, the gift for all of you is this link, which is called technofunda.co/excel. And this is a powerful template where you can do your research. It will give you the growth rate of last few years and how it has evolved. What is the margin expansion and what are those four cylinders in terms of growth, margin expansion, operating leverage and debt reduction, which are kicking in for the company. And most likely, if you follow that template and do proper research, you will end up finding a potential scalable business which can create wealth for you. So all the best, and keep listening to Technofunda Investing Podcast. If you have not visited my website, go to vivekmashrani.com. There are a lot of other podcasts, articles, videos for you to learn and evolve as an investor. So stay safe. Thank you for listening, and see you in the next podcast. Bye-bye.